Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. We always appreciate you listening every Sunday night at this time, if you can. Not too long ago, well, it's happened more than once, somebody's called in to ask about or to make a comment or a statement about whether or not a person has to be baptized to be saved. Just what does the Bible teach on that? Does a sinner have to be baptized in water in order to be saved from his sins? Now, before I go into some verses, I would like us to understand or to establish the fact or to agree upon the fact that it's the Bible that decides this answer for us. Not what some preacher says, not how we think it ought to be or what's fair or what makes sense or what. None of that makes any difference. The only thing that makes any difference in trying to determine whether or not we have to be baptized to be saved is, what does God say in His Word? You know, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12 says, there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So the way that seems right to you or to me won't necessarily be the right way. The right way is what God actually says. So when we're trying to answer this question, does a sinner have to be baptized to be saved? We need to look at the Scriptures. And the first verse I would like to look at is Mark chapter 16, verse 16. It seems pretty simple to me. Jesus is the one speaking here, and He says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. It looks like to me that this verse teaches baptism is necessary to salvation, just like this sentence, he that eateth and digesteth his food shall live, teaches one must digest his food in order to live physically. He that eateth and digesteth his food shall live. That sentence implies you've got to do both. Eat your food and digest your food in order to live physically. And so when Jesus says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, we would necessarily conclude from that you have to do both. It's not just enough just to believe. That's what most preachers say. All you got to do is believe to be saved. No, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's what Jesus says. Now, we may not agree with that. We may not like that. But that doesn't change the fact of the matter. Jesus said it. He's the one that gets to decide what's right in religion. And he has said that baptism is necessary to salvation. That verse seems pretty clear, pretty simple to me in stating that. Let me mention the number if you want to call on this or any other Bible topic. 877-655-6755. Again, if you have a Bible question or a comment on this or any other Bible topic, give us a call at 877-655-6755. The lines are wide open right now. Here's another passage I would like you to consider on this subject. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 5, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. It's basically easy to see this verse is saying you've got to do something in order to be saved, enter the kingdom of God, and that is being born of water and the Spirit. But what is born of water referring to? Well, water baptism is the only thing of spiritual significance in the New Testament that involves water. So, for that reason, I suggest to you that Jesus actually here can't be talking about anything else other than water baptism when he says, except you do that, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That conclusively makes water baptism necessary to salvation. How about Acts chapter 2, verse 38? Peter said there in what we think is the first gospel sermon, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, this passage tells us to do two things, and if we do those two things, we'll get two things. The two things that a sinner must do, is repent of his sins and then be baptized. And if he'll do those two things, the two things he'll get are the remission of sins, or the forgiveness of sins, and the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now notice, we have to be baptized to get the remission of sins, according to this passage. And not only that, we have to do it for that reason. Many people get immersed, get baptized, but they don't do it for the remission of sins. They think they're saved at the point of faith, so when it's time to do their baptism, they don't get baptized to be saved for the remission of sins. If that's true, they've never been baptized scripturally. They've never been baptized for the remission of sins. And if you haven't been baptized for the remission of sins, you haven't received the remission of sins. Carol from Missouri, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Well, I just wanted to ask about the thieves on the cross with Jesus, and the one that received him but was not baptized. But we know that he was with Jesus in paradise that very day.
Right.
So he obviously wasn't baptized.
Right. Let me ask you about a passage, Carol. Hang on the line and let me read to you Hebrews 9:15-17. It says, "And for this cause he," it's talking about Jesus, "is a mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth." Now help us see the point of this passage. We could relate it back to, say, the will, which is called the last will and testament of my parents. Myself and my three brothers were put into the will of my parents back in the 70s, but their will did not go into effect until both of my parents had died. That's kind of the point here. Jesus' will, meaning the New Testament, did not go into effect, Carol, until after the death of the testator, Jesus Christ. So you'll remember, Carol, that when Jesus was alive, he lived perfectly without any sin. He lived according to the Old Testament law. He was under the Old Testament law. The New Testament law, which is the testament, the law that requires us to be baptized to be saved, didn't go into effect until after the death of Jesus, until after the thief on the cross was forgiven. Do you follow my point, Carol?
Yes, but that brings up another question then. So what about those believers that do receive Christ and there's not an opportunity for baptism before they die?
Okay, I'll answer that, but let me finish out this point for the listeners. I think you got the point. The thief on the cross didn't have to be baptized for the same reason that Adam didn't have to be baptized to be saved. Moses didn't have to be baptized to be saved. Joshua, Abraham, none of those people lived under the New Testament law. They lived under Old Testament times. They had to live according to the way God instructed them. But us in the New Testament times, we must obey God's New Testament, and it requires us to be baptized to be saved. Now, Carol's got another good question. What about a person that doesn't have an opportunity to be baptized? Well, I could respond with a question, Carol. What about a person who was going to believe when they heard the gospel, but they didn't have an opportunity to hear the gospel and believe? What about that person? Is he going to be saved even though he doesn't believe, Carol?
That question, I don't get that. I don't understand your question.
Well, my point would be, is that a person, if you say that a person doesn't have to be baptized to be saved because some people don't have the opportunity, then I can turn right around and say, well, some people don't have the opportunity to believe. Like a person in a third world country, you might argue, never hears the gospel. They don't have an opportunity to believe. Therefore, that means people can be saved without belief. But John 8:24, Jesus said, "Except you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins." John 14:6 says, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." So my point is that just because people don't have an opportunity to believe, at least in the eyes of man, that's just in the eyes of man, opportunity, that doesn't prove that people don't have to believe to be saved. Likewise, just because some might think that a person doesn't have an opportunity to be baptized, that wouldn't prove that people don't have to be baptized to be saved. No, the truth is, really, God gives everybody the opportunity to believe in being baptized. So here's a person that has had maybe 100 opportunities. He's heard the gospel 100 times, never obeyed the gospel. Then we might say he gets out in the desert somewhere and he believes in Christ and wants to be baptized, but there's no water there. Well, he's already had 100 opportunities. How can we say he doesn't have the opportunity? He's had the opportunity and he's turned those opportunities down. No amount of human logic or reasoning can change the fact that Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." That settles the question. Gary from Arkansas, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yeah, I was going to talk about baptism a minute. I have a hospital ministry. I go up and minister to transplant patients, and I've had the opportunity to lead three to salvation, and one of them died in the hospital before he got out. Now, he didn't have the opportunity to get baptized. I heard what you just said, but, you know, when Christ was on the cross, the criminal, you know, Christ said, if you believe in me, you'll be in paradise with me today. Well, he wasn't baptized, so how does that set with you?
Hey, Gary, we also answered the question about the thief on the cross, perhaps before you were listening, and the fact that Hebrews 9:15-17 shows that the New Testament law, which is the one that requires baptism, didn't go into effect until after Jesus and the thief were already dead. The thief and Jesus lived at a time before baptism was required. So, of course, they didn't have to be baptized to be saved. I mean, the thief, he didn't live under the law that says you got to be baptized to be saved. But we do. We live under a law that says you got to be baptized for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. So it's not optional. Jesus either was telling the truth or he was lying when he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We know he was telling the truth. It's just up to us to accept the truth, to love God, to respect his authority enough to accept the truth, even though it may differ from our sensibilities. As I said, Proverbs 14, verse 12, there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We've got to ignore what we might think or what we might like and accept what God says. And he has said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. John from Texas, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, do you hear me now?
Yes, sir. Go ahead, John.
I was just, when Jesus is talking in the first four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he's talking to Jews only, as I've understood it. And then Paul, he gets saved on the road to Damascus, and then his Gospel, it's in the 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians 15, the first four verses of chapter 15. Where it says, by faith, you're saved. And that's what he told, the disciples. You don't go before he died there. He said, you go and talk to the Jews only. Don't go to the Gentiles. And then Paul was saved on the road to Damascus. And in his Gospel, it says it's just by faith only, the way I understand it. And I've heard
John,
a preacher, Les Feldick. I don't know if you've heard of Les Feldick. He's a really good preacher, though. just an old country boy preacher.
Hey, John, let me mention to you, we were talking about Paul the Apostle. He believed on the road to Damascus, but in Acts 22, verse 16, Ananias was told to go to Paul and tell him what to do. And he tells Saul, or Paul, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So the way that Paul himself was saved from his sins was in baptism. The blood of Christ, the death of Christ, washed away his sins in baptism. It says to be baptized and wash away thy sins, and that's Paul. He was told to get baptized to be forgiven. So Paul got saved the same way everybody else gets saved, by believing and being baptized.
And that's Acts 22:17. Is that what you said? I'm not real.
Yes, Acts chapter. Yes, John. Acts chapter 22:16. And let me go ahead and read another passage. What Paul taught in Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Paul said, and this is Paul, know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Now, can you be saved without being in Christ, in fellowship with Christ, in a saved relationship with Christ? Can you be saved without receiving the benefits of his death? Well, this verse, written by Paul, of course, the inspiration of God, this verse says that the way you get into Christ, into a saved relationship with Christ, fellowship with Christ, and the way you get into the benefits of his death is by being baptized. Baptized into Jesus Christ, baptized into his death. So Paul taught you had to be baptized to be saved. Tony from Pennsylvania, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I used to be Catholic, And they used to teach us that there was a baptism of blood, whereas a person accepted Christ and then all of a sudden he was seized and martyred, you know. He could be saved, but it's because he shed his blood for Jesus, you know. And and also wanted to ask you about I think I forgot. Well, let's just go with that question.
Okay. Yeah, Tony. Yeah. Tony, I have to appreciate a person who dies for Christ, the cause of Christ, but there's nothing in the Bible that says just because a person dies for what he thinks is the cause of Christ that he's going to be saved. There's no such thing as this baptism of blood. Everybody has to believe and be baptized just like Jesus said. Let me read you a passage, and let's see if you can understand if this is talking about water baptism or baptism in blood. It says it's 1 Peter 3:20-21. Tony, it says, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls were saved by water. The like figure whereinto even baptism doth also now save us. Now we'll stop right there. It says baptism saves us. Can you tell what kind of baptism that's talking about, Tony?
It has to be water.
Yeah, because there's an analogy or a figure here, and the point is, in Noah's day, 8 souls were saved by or through water, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's talking about, and then it's saying, in our day, we're saved by baptism. And there's the thing that they have in common is that both of them involve water, and both of them involve a salvation. In Noah's day, it was a physical salvation. In our day, it's a spiritual salvation. So this is definitely talking about water baptism. Or the parallel doesn't hold. This is talking about water baptism. It says water baptism saves us. Now, that doesn't mean that our water baptism earns our salvation. No, the blood, the death of Christ does that. But this is just simply saying, when it says baptism saves us, is that we have to be baptized in order to be saved by the death, by the blood of Christ. Does that make sense, Tony?
Yes. And I remember the other question I wanted to ask you. Is I was as a baby, I was baptized in the Catholic Church. And then, by pouring the water, you know, over the forehead. Later on, I left the Catholic Church and I went to the Baptist Church and I got baptized, by immersion, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So was my original baptism good enough, or did I do the right thing by having a second baptism?
Let me read to you Acts 8, verses 36 and 37. The eunuch is being preached to by Philip here. And it says, as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And notice what Philip says in verse 37, Tony. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So the eunuch said, what's keeping me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe, you may. Now, I think, Tony, that passage and a bunch of other passages show beyond any shadow of a doubt that until a person believes, baptism won't do a person any good. He said, I want to be baptized. He said, well, if you believe, you may, which would imply if you're not a believer, you may not be baptized.
Mm-hmm.
You follow what I'm saying, Tony?
Yeah.
Now, so I would suggest that baptism when you were infant didn't do you any good because you weren't a believer yet. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've been pointing out that that belief by itself is not good enough. Well, now I'm pointing out from Mark 16:16 that baptism by itself is not good enough. You got to believe and be baptized. It takes both. Does that make sense, Tony?
Yeah, it makes sense to me.
Now, let me point out one other thing before you get off the line. I mentioned in Acts 2, verse 38, Peter said, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Okay? So the very reason we have to be baptized is for the forgiveness or the remission of sins. Now, I happen to know that the Baptist Church, when they baptize people, they do immerse them. But they don't baptize for the remission of sins. They say that a person is saved at the point of faith, and then later they get baptized. And so they don't baptize for the remission of sins. So I would hesitate to say that baptism was scriptural myself.
Mm-hmm.
What I did is I was also baptized in the Baptist Church when I was a youngster, but when I found out later that really the scriptures say you got to be baptized for the remission of sins, I got baptized for the remission of sins. You might say I got baptized again, but really it was the first time scripturally. Let me make an analogy, Tony. In Matthew 19, verse 9, Jesus said, basically, whoever puts away their wife except it be for fornication and marries another commits adultery. So if you get a divorce for a reason other than fornication, it's not a scriptural divorce. I probably shouldn't have brought that up right now, but I'm making an analogy. If you're baptized for a reason other than for the remission of sins, Acts chapter 2, verse 38, then that's not a scriptural baptism. Do you follow me, Tony?
Yeah. What did you suggest? I mean, if I wanted to get it right, where would I go?
Tony, can you send me an email at BibleCrossfire@email.com?
I don't have a computer. I'm sorry.
Okay. Are you driving right now or at home?
I'm driving.
Can you write down or remember my cell phone number?
I'll try.
256-682-9753.
Okay. 9753.
Yeah, 256-682-9753. Give me a call and we'll talk about this further after I'm off the air, okay?
Okay.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you.
Hey, Dave, we're about to run out of time, but go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Hey, real quick. Hey, I just got on the radio a few minutes ago, so I didn't hear the whole thing. But as far as baptism and accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior and being saved, someone said something to me about immersion and being baptized. I've been kind of like sprinkled in the Methodist church, and a person told me I should do that. I talked to another friend of mine who said, no, you really should be immersed. I went online and listened to a 50-minute sermon by Reverend Charles Stanley, and it was the title of it was The Absolute, Biblical on Baptism. And he said, I'm just saying, this is confusing me. He said they're two separate things. He did agree that you should accept Christ not when you're a baby, but when you're old enough to understand. That's one act, and that baptism is totally separate. And he said, I would say, will you go to hell if you're not baptized? And he said, I wouldn't say that. I would say you're in direct rebellion against God if you're not baptized. You're sinning, and why would you want to do that? And that you should be immersed, because that's the way Jesus was baptized. That represents what he did with John the Baptist in the water. He wasn't sprinkled. He talked about that being, I think the word was technical baptism for people that were shut-ins and stuff, and that we should be immersed. But he said that you should be accept Christ first, and until you accept Christ in your heart and repent of your sins, that baptism doesn't mean anything. And that after you get that done, you should go and be baptized. But
Dave, I'm gonna have to let you go now, Dave. I got to get off the air in less than a minute. Okay. Thank you for your call. Appreciate it. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Thank you, Dave. We're gonna have to go off the air in about 30 seconds. Let me just read two or three passages just to prove that a person has to be baptized to be saved. Jesus said in Mark 16:16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned." There's no doubt about it. You've got to believe and be baptized to be saved, according to Jesus. In Acts 2:38, the Bible says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." So you've got to be baptized to get the forgiveness or the remission of sins. Ananias told Saul in Acts 22:16, "Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." So baptism is the point where the blood of Christ washes away our sins. And then 1 Peter 3:21 says, "Baptism doth also now save us." Send me an email at BibleCrossfire@email.com if you'd like to talk about this further.